Okay, hello everyone. Welcome back to YAG. In the blink of an eye, 8 months of the year have passed. It's like the end of August already. Yeah, how has your year been? Mine has been full of ups and downs. So in November, this November, I will be starting a new job. I'll be working at the Center for Wildlife Rehab under NParks. So many of you who have heard about this upcoming change were excited for me because you know how much animals and nature have been my passion since young. But I also wanted to share how this was not an easy decision and how I'm seeking to apply the lessons from YAG to shape my perspectives and approach towards it. So while I'm excited and grateful for the job offer, I struggled with doubts and uncertainties that it brought. So firstly, I've been working at MOE for 8 years. So I'm currently a secondary school teacher. It's a stable, meaningful job. So my current boss is a Christian whom I respect a lot and look up to. And the colleagues in my department are fun and great to work with. And also I work in a mission school where I get to enjoy listening to devotions every morning and get to talk to my students about the Christian faith openly. So in contrast, the new job is a contract role compared to my current permanent role at MOE. And it involves a pay cut with uncertainties about what kind of boss or colleagues that I'll be working with. The location is also quite far. This is in Lim Chu Kang. And I'm also like unsure about whether I would enjoy or be good at a specific job scope, although I like the industry. So the role is a bit like a center manager, handling a mix of admin, stakeholder management, and operations, among other responsibilities. But I could see how the Lord provided this opportunity for me. So firstly, this is actually a new role created by NParks. They were looking for someone with government experience, and also preferably experience in a vet clinic. So this is an unlikely combination, which I had, thanks to the Lord who had paved the way by allowing me the opportunity to help out at vet clinics when I was in Australia. So at that time, I just did it out of interest, not knowing that it would actually, you know, provide me the experience to land such a role. Secondly, although I received the job offer last month, NParks was willing to wait 4 months until November so that I could finish seeing through my graduating classes, which was a non-negotiable for me. Yeah. I saw it as the Lord's hand in enabling me to honour my commitment to my job as a teacher. So I prayed about this decision and sought counsel from various people. But even so, I struggled with the decision, fearful about the uncertainties and wondering what was God's will, purpose and plan for me. So in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 18 to 20, it reads, "Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart." So in verses 18 and 19, Solomon recognizes how it is God who gives and provides all the good that comes from our labor. We can toil and we can plan all we want, but it will all feel futile without the Lord. He alone provides the fruits and the joy of our labor, regardless of whatever situations or conditions that we may be in. So when we place our trust in the Lord, we will not dwell unduly on the days of our lives, as it says in verse 20. So being caught up with the concerns of life. Instead, we can enjoy what the Lord has provided and will continue to provide and be thankful instead of being negative about the futility or the challenges of life. So for me, I'm learning how not to be anxious so much about whether I'll make the right decision or which path is God's plan for me. Or be worried about the insecurities that come with making this bold move to change a secure job for something more uncertain. So instead, to have the perspective that both my current job and my new job are blessings and provision from the Lord. I can enjoy the remaining time that I have left in school, but also look forward in hope to start this new role, knowing full well that the Lord will provide. On my part, I'm challenged to turn my eyes to the Lord and to honour Him wherever He has placed me in gratitude. May we always seek to put our hope in God, like David, more than Solomon, and trust in His provision amidst uncertainty. The song that I chose is Turn Your Eyes. It is a different version to the traditional hymn. I think most of us know the traditional hymn. There's a new tune to the chorus, but I think it's quite easy to catch. So we just sing together later. So this song reminds us to always turn our eyes to Jesus instead of overly focusing on the things of earth, and to behold and to praise Him for being our great God from whom all blessings flow. Okay, so now we take the song together. Okay, there you are. How many of you know this song? The new version. Okay, am I the rest of you catch? You just catch the song. Okay, thanks Jerome. Okay, thank you. Pass the time to Pastor Mark.
Thank you, Rachel, for sharing with us about what you're going to do in time. It's always good to be able to place that focus on the Lord, whether it's your present work, whether it is the new job that you're going to go to. It's always looking to God Himself and to see how He will continue to be there with you. Now, before we pray, so from now onwards, we are going to start 5 minutes earlier. So please take note of that so that we have a bit more time to worship and also for the study of the Lord's Word. Right, okay, let's pray and then we can look at Ecclesiastes 7 again. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank You for Your hand of leading. We pray that You just continue to give us the kind of wisdom and understanding to look to You, to guide us in our decisions, and something that we're going to think about a little bit more today. We pray that You will continue to enlighten us with Your wisdom, and through the Spirit of God, that You will help us to see how Your Word can continue to be that much more relevant and applicable to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, just review a little bit. I mean, chapter 7, we've been taking a bit of time to work with. Next week, we will try and end it. So last week, we were looking at what it means to be righteous. We will go through, whether you're righteous or not, we will go through unexpected things in life. But we want to pursue true righteousness, not to be overly righteous, not to be overly wise, but rather to have true wisdom. And ultimately, it is really learning how to fear God, right? For he who fears God will escape them all. Now, I think some of you were at PMC and Pastor was talking about the fear. I thought I'd just quickly make reference to Proverbs 1 very quickly so that we can appreciate this idea of the fear of the Lord a little bit more. And in Proverbs 1, verse 28, it says, "Then they will call on me, but I will not answer." That's the problem when you do not fear the Lord, right? "They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." So one other perspective concerning the fear of the Lord is a question of knowledge. And if you do not fear the Lord, right, actually what you have is that you have a hatred for knowledge. So I always appreciate Solomon's perspective when it comes to Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. The way in which he writes, sometimes you tend to think, hey, that's not really an opposite, but or something that's similar. But actually, it tells you greater insights that helps us to appreciate. If you do not fear the Lord, then actually you are hating knowledge, right? They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Here, of course, in a reference to wisdom. And it's something for us to think about as we look at this idea of the fear of the Lord and how we want to continue to grow in wisdom, in righteousness, and so on and so forth. Okay, I thought that was an interesting perspective to have. Now, let's go back to Ecclesiastes 7, and then we're going to go on to verse 19 now. Now, verse 19, it says, wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. Again, there are sometimes similarly ideas that are not so connected, but there is a very general way in which we can see the connection. It has to do with wisdom. It has to do with righteousness. It has to do what it means to be just. So here in verse 19, wisdom strengthens the wise. And I thought it was a very interesting perspective to have. Early on, we read about certain nuances about wisdom. In verse 12, for wisdom is a defense. And we talked about how if we have wisdom, we grow in wisdom, it can be a good defense for us. Money is also a defense, but the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. So another nuance is that wisdom gives life. And here we see how wisdom strengthens the wise. So there's a power behind wisdom. Wisdom can give real strength. So it's not about physical strength, it's about internal strength. Now, what is this strength that we want to be able to appreciate? Now, if you are a ruler, say you are a king, or you're overseeing a whole nation, a country, wisdom gives you strength, right? You are given the discernment to make good decisions that would lead the nation in the right way. To lead the nation forward, to lead the nation for, for its prosperity and so on and so forth. So here, he compares it with 10 rulers. Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. Now, you can have 10 rulers, but each of these rulers, if they are unwise, if they are foolish in their ways, you can have 10 of them, but it's not going to help. They are not able to have the kind of understanding to be able to work together to have good decisions. Ultimately, the problem is that you can have rulers that are not so wise and they are just going about doing things that may not be the best. I mean, you have many rulers in many countries today, and so just this week you have the Prime Minister of Thailand, tried to consult with Hun Sen, right? And in the end, it was to her detriment. He went sabo her, put it on social media, and that was the end of it. So, where is the wisdom? So, when you have wisdom as a ruler, there is strength. When you are foolish as a ruler and you make unwise decisions, you become weaker. So that's why I really appreciate these nuances about how do we look at wisdom and its effects. Wisdom gives strength. So the more we are able to grow in wisdom, we can actually become stronger. You are able to make good, sound decisions. You are more discerning in your ways. You find strength in mind and spirit. Right? So you have, our government, right? And this way you have a issue concerning vaping, concerning bullying, and so on and so forth. I mean, they are very difficult situations to manage. But yet, the government has to make good, strong decisions. and they are, you know, wiser as a result, and being able, I mean, to me, it makes a lot of sense, right? That we are able to, like, even for vaping, you need very strong laws, and especially when you look at something that is, you know, poisoned, and so it's not just about cigarettes and all, and that becomes a real issue, because it's a drug. And we want to be able to say this is how we want to overcome this problem, right? So I think along the way, I did tell you about my cholesterol problem. I think I mentioned to you about my cholesterol problem. So I did a blood test in April. My cholesterol was high, but not so high, right? And it was in between, the range between, within range and the range in which you should take medicine. So I think a few months back, I think it was in July, I went to do another, I talked to Dr. Daniel, and then he said, okay, how? And then later on, I went to consult Dr. Jane. And then Dr. Jane gave me a very interesting perspective. I say, hey, what do you think? Should I take statin, which is the cholesterol drug? She say, Pastor Mark, we all take it. See, all the doctors take it. I say, really? Wow, that's very interesting. And so I say, okay, I'll start taking. Yeah, I'm quoting you. Sorry. Yeah, don't tell anybody else. But anyway, I just did a blood test this week. And my cholesterol went down. From 221, it went down to 169. And then the ratio went from 5.1 to 3.4. So everything is within range. Wow, I'm very happy. Thank God. I'm so much more strengthened. Concerning my health issue. You know, you're half the time you're thinking, will I, you know, start accumulating more, you know, things in my heart, and you know, suddenly everything is settled, right? So, yeah, I'm serious. Now, I know that some of you do take that. Somebody was telling me, I was sharing this with somebody, another group, and he said, you know, actually within church, there is a under 14 statin group. I say, really? He said, yeah. There are some who are already taking it, even though they are below 40. Yeah. And, I mean, that's understandable for one reason or another. Okay? No. So the point I'm trying to make is that when we gain knowledge and wisdom and discernment, and you are able to make good, sound decisions, it actually strengthens you. It strengthens you in terms of your mind, your heart, and the way in which you approach things. Now, let's go on. Verse 20 says, for there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Okay, so what he's trying to say here is that basically there's no one that is just. Now, this is what we call a personal comment. Meaning, Solomon is just commenting. As you recognize, what Solomon does is that he makes observations. And then he comes to certain conclusions, he comes to certain responses or reaction. So this is really not a theological comment. This is not like Romans 4 or 5 and things like that, or 3, right? This is really just a observation concerning men, especially men that is around him. Okay? So as king, Solomon was surrounded with all kinds of people, his advisors, the people who serve in his courts, who serve him, and so on. And one of the things that he has sought to come to observe and to write this is that there is no one who is truly just. Okay? That is something that we will talk about a little, I mean, this week and actually next week. His observation is that there is hardly anyone who is truly just. Someone who is able to do good, someone who does not sin, someone that is able to be just. Again, this is his regret, his sorrow, right? For him, he would want people who are just, give him good, sound advice, who does things that are good. But his observation is that this is something that is not easily found, right? And you recognize this. You see all that's happening in the world. You see in your workplace, you see in the people around you. It's hard to find someone that is truly just. It's not easy, right? I mean, I don't know whether you read about this Australian woman who killed her whole family, some of her family, not all. Actually, it was more her husband's family, the in-laws. Right? If you want to kill your in-laws, this is one way to do it. She picked up, in Australia, she picked up poisonous mushrooms, right? And made beef Wellington. Right? Beef Wellington inside, there you have, mushrooms and things like that. And fed it to the parents-in-law, to the other family members, and I think a few of them ate it, and she is being, so she has been prosecuted, and she's, going to be sentenced, but it's terrible, right? Well, not to teach you how to, do harm to your in-laws. Please love your in-laws. Please care for them. Don't feed them things that are, that's going to cause them all kinds of problems. Right? I mean, this is a problem. And it's true. If you really sit down and think it through, it's not easy to find someone who is just. Right? You look at all the vaping cases, and suddenly it is, an explosion. Right? You have people who are coming into our country with all kinds of, smuggling vapes and right? So it's very good that the government is doing something about it. Right? But without this heightened awareness and heightened actions, a lot of young people, adults will be affected by this. It's just very, very cruel, actually. Especially using, poison along the way. And we all recognize this. There's scams going on. There's people with all kinds of evil intent. Right? And you look at what Solomon had to go through also. There were all kinds of difficulties. So it's difficult. So what Solomon is trying to say here is, don't be easily taken in when you tend to think that people are nice. Now, I'm not saying that everybody is not nice. I'm just saying that we also want to be very careful. Right? It's not easy to find someone who is truly just and righteous, and we need to be aware of this reality. Okay? All right, what do you think? Do you think Solomon is extreme in his perspective? Or do you think he's... Now, as I said, along the way, there are things that are things where we need to rethink what he's trying to say, but there are times when he says certain things that we can appreciate. Right? And... okay, what do you think? Gabe, what do you think? True or not?
Yeah, I think actually verse 19 and 20, they tie into each other quite nicely.
Yes.
In that, having wisdom strengthen us, part of it is also discernment.
Yeah.
And
so that's why it's connected, you see. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying that sometimes it looks a bit random. But ultimately, if you look at it from, how do we learn to be wise? If we learn to be wise, we can be stronger as a result, right? But wisdom gives us that discernment to actually understand, look, not everybody is going to be just in his ways. I mean, look at this scam issue, right? So many things. You get scam shoe, you got so many warnings. You every time you go to the bank, they will give you a notice to tell you, be careful about scam. There's so many warnings, left, right, center. But people still get scammed, one way or another. I understand the way in which they do it nowadays is even more sophisticated and deceiving, and people do get scammed, even the best of us, right? But the thing is that, you know, we need to be that much more discerning. And you are stronger, it is better for you when you have that kind of wisdom, rather than to be easily, you know, taken in and fooled and so on and so forth. Right? So, good on you, Sham. You are prosecuting those that are... Okay, what do you think?
Please don't get scammed and create more work for us. But yeah, I think it's true that wisdom strengthens.
Yeah.
Because without wisdom, when you make decisions... they can have consequences.
Yes.
And it is so important to have discernment and wisdom when you make decisions, especially big decisions in life. Yeah.
Definitely. Right? You're right in saying this. The problem is that sometimes we tend to think about, okay, this is what we have to consider and we think about it, but we don't think about the consequences well enough. And that becomes a problem. Now, I'm going to explain this since you brought it up. Let's go on to verse 21, 22, and I'll show you what this idea of consequence a little bit more. Now, in verse 21, it says, also do not take to heart everything people say. Again, it seems like, okay, now we are talking about what people say. A little seems like a bit disjointed, but actually it's no. You're all related. Right? Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Any of you having helpers and things like that? Be very careful, right? Your servant cursing you. Wow, this kind of man, to say all kinds of things. Now he goes on to say, for many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. Wow. Talk about reality. Be very careful about saying things about others. Right? And we want to be very careful about this. That's why we talk about being just. The thing is about remarks. People like to make remarks. Remarks that, if it's positive, great. But far often than not, it is negative. Whether it is from your bosses, your colleagues, your friends, even your family members, that's part of the problem. We tend to be, you know, giving all kinds of remarks and so on and so forth. All remarks are made against us. And the natural response is to react. We all do that, right? And what Solomon is saying here is do not take it to heart. Don't be overly sensitive about things like this. Sometimes it's, especially when you take it very personally, right? You feel very, that I'm being attacked and you're hurt as a result. Now, I understand that some situations are far more difficult and complex, and so I understand that. But sometimes we can be overly sensitive about what people say. Sometimes they don't even intend to say it in a certain way, but it is perceived in a certain way. Right? And you end up being resentful, you react, and worse, you... when you react, you start saying bad things about the person, right? You give an eye for an eye, a mouth for a mouth. Right? A word for a word, whatever. And you try to be defensive. You try to defend yourself one way or another. Now, why I raise this? This week, somebody spoke to me, and the person was asking about divorce. Right? How should we understand divorce from the biblical standpoint? And so, of course, I gave her the perspective. Now, there is a balanced approach to the question of divorce. You don't want to say, die, you cannot divorce. So if you are a Roman Catholic, you cannot divorce. Right? But the other hand also, you're going to say, yeah, just go ahead, you know, give the advice. You want to divorce? Go ahead and divorce. I think that's also not the best approach. Anyway, this way, there was an article in, I don't know if you read it, about this person. He wrote an article. He's a reporter. But he went through a divorce. And he was, and he, when the divorce happened, he was actually quite shocked about it. He didn't want the divorce. But because of what he had done, the wife was divorcing him. So by the time when everything was done, there was a lot of regrets. Now he began to read about how to handle situations when, you know, when you're about to get divorced or you're struggling in your marriage and so on and so forth. And then, of course, I just read the whole article. And the thing that he realized was that there are four things that causes couple or, you know, a problem in a relationship. One is criticism. Two, contempt. Three, defensiveness. Four, stonewalling. Stonewalling is that you don't want to talk about it. And these are the four things. Now, this is from a book that he read concerning these issues. And that's part of the problem. The problem is that when you are in a relationship, any kind of relationship, marriage, family, if you end up having these things, you're going to find difficulty in the context of that relationship. When you end up criticizing each other, you tick for tack. You say one thing, I say another thing. Right? When you have contempt. In your own heart, you end up having this anger. We talked about anger, right? Patience in spirit is better than the proud in spirit, and do not hasten in your spirit to be angry. You know? You have contempt, right? Another part is, we all recognize this. Sometimes when we end up being very defensive, it's also no good. Sometimes it's good to be able to admit that maybe, you know what, I was wrong. What is wrong with saying sorry? What's wrong with admitting I was actually wrong? Problem is pride, see? So I was also talking to a group of ladies last night about this idea of patience. So I say, okay, let's turn to Ecclesiastes, right? And I share with them this, say, look, that's the problem, you see. We are patient, we don't have patience enough. We end up having more pride and anger. And that's where you end up. So he realized, as a husband, this reporter, he had been abusive towards his wife. He was really a bully. Publicly, he berated her in front of her friends and everything else. And all she wanted was, you know, some love, graciousness, kindness. But he didn't hear. He just went on doing what he wanted to do. And then in the end, he was the one who really regretted. No matter what he tried to salvage the marriage, couldn't. It was gone. It was too late already. So sometimes it is important for us to recognize that's where consequences, right? You don't realize the consequences of what we say, especially in a moment of anger, right? And or when we become resentful, become reactive, there's contempt against others, and that really becomes a problem. See, so when you look at this as a whole, right, when you think about, can I have the, you know, when you have the strength that comes with discernment, you are wiser, you make better decisions along the way, and you can see that you, what you say or how you respond to things is found because you have a greater strength. Sometimes we allow those perspectives to, whether it's your reaction, whether a negative thought or negative response, we allow them to affect us or influence us to such an extent that we do things that end up with all kinds of consequences. But if you have that wisdom, you actually have that strength to be able to say no. No to this kind of responses. Why don't we take a far more discerning, wise, and to actually take a far stronger position. We all tend to think, if I berate somebody, if I put down somebody, if I score somebody, I'm angry with somebody, we are stronger. Actually, that's not true. You have become weaker, and you have made the situation weaker. You see what I'm trying to drive at? Wisdom is meant to strengthen us. Wisdom is not meant to, and is not to weaken us in any way. It is meant to strengthen us. You make good choices, you have a far stronger position. Your relationships will be stronger. Your families will be stronger. Right? When you have wrong decisions, weak decisions, and you find yourself in a far weaker position, actually. Right? And I think that's something for us to think about. Okay, Alistair, what do you think? Who's still studying?
I think it's very easy to act first based on your emotions.
Yes.
I think we don't take the time to stop and think. And the tongue is really the issue here where...
Yeah.
I want to have the last say. I want to win each time. I think that's where that wisdom is not exercised.
So, wisdom and the tongue, right? And we all understand that if I'm wiser, I'll use my tongue better, what my words, and we studied in James, you know, and so on and so forth. But you know what? Where's the strength? That's what's missing. That wisdom will give us the strength to be able to say, okay, you know what? Better for me to keep quiet. Better for me to choose my words well. So I was talking to this person, you know, and she is trying to understand divorce in trying to help somebody else. And I told her, look, even if you try and advise, be very, very careful. Sometimes we tend to take a one-sided approach. So somebody gave advice to this, somebody gave this advice, and then she said, oh, why don't I just say this? And then this other person who is going through a possible divorce reacted. And I say, does that help the situation? No. It doesn't help. So sometimes you're trying to give advice, but actually you're making it worse. Right? So it's important to be able to see the wisdom, the discernment, the consequences, and then to be able to have that kind of knowledge and understanding to give you a position that is far stronger. It doesn't mean, okay, so guys, sometimes we all, okay, we give in, we give in, we give in. Next week, we're going to talk about women a little bit more. Well, as we, right? But the challenge is, do we always just give in? Is it the best? Now, I don't mean, wow, fight us, your power, you know. I don't mean that also, right? Is there a better way to approach things? Is there a reasonable way in which we can think through things and yet have to everybody to be able to see the wisdom, the discernment of it all, rather than not? Can you see this? And I hope that your relationships, whether it's with your family members, whether it's with your spouses, whether it's with your parents, whether it's with your colleagues, whether with your bosses, you know, we can learn to find wisdom giving us that strength. Strength that is needed. Strength that is needed to be able to be, to make the right choices. Strength to be able to have a far greater position. So even people may think, oh, why are you taking this approach? You seem weaker as a result. But actually, if you have the wisdom and understanding in making that right choice, you are far more stronger. Right? And that's something for us to think about. As you go into your groups, take time to think this through. Right? Discuss it. How can we actually learn to be far stronger as a person because of wisdom and far stronger in our relationship, as a couple, as husband and wife, as parents, and so on and so forth. To me, this is something that we want to learn and to appreciate and to be able to see how these things can really make a difference. If you can apply this into your life at whichever stage you are, it's going to help you in the long run. I can tell you this. Very honestly, you will have a far more significant in terms of, you know, strength, wisdom, and blessings. You see how God will bless in more ways than one as a result. Because ultimately, we are talking about wisdom also to be just and right. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week. Okay? But let's think this through a little bit more. Okay, let's pray and then we can go into our groups. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for your words once again. And even as we consider the observations that Solomon made, help us, Lord, to understand how wisdom can bring about strength. Strength to the wise. Strength that is far greater than even 10 rulers. We pray, Lord, that you'll give us the kind of wisdom to make good, sound decisions that is just, that is right. Even when we have circumstances that work against us, where people would say things, remarks concerning who we are and what we do. We pray, Lord, that you will help us not to be reactive, but really to be able to take a far stronger position of discerning what is the best, correct, more excellent way of doing things or things that we should say or not say. We pray, Lord, that you continue to work in our lives. Give us the kind of wisdom that we need. We pray that you will bless this offering, for we ask all this in Jesus' name.